you have 15 minutes, and you can begin whenever you're ready. And I would normally ask you if you want any rebuttal time, but since there's nobody to rebut, it's all yours.
Well, I figured that out so far.
That's good.
My name is James F. Andrews from Petersburg, and I represent the appellant Christopher Takas, or so-called Chris, who was the defendant below. Before I get into my first portion of my argument, I wanted to call the court's attention to something relative to the second assignment, in case I don't get to it. In connection with the showing of the extensive amount of time that was involved with this case, and one of the things notably being the discovery efforts and the interrogatory, I designated for the appendix a petition for rule to show cause, which the plaintiff filed on April 30th of 2014, that appears at page 162 of the appendix. Unfortunately, the printer omitted all of the exhibits that were attached to the petition, and they were the ones that showed the back and forth with regard to the interrogatories, the answers we gave, the ones that they wanted more, that sort of thing. And I didn't find out about that or realize it until after it was too late. So with regard to that particular aspect, which I would argue shows how foolish, as well as being extremely duplicitous and so forth, the interrogatories were.
Those items are part of the record, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. They're part of the record, but
okay.
They're not part of the appendix. I would say that in almost 49 years of practice, this is probably the most unnecessary, long, drawn-out case I've ever seen. We've got people chasing pots of gold that don't exist in efforts to simply harass the other party, that type of thing. There were a number of errors in the case, but having already struggled with dealing with them, I certainly am not asking, I did not assign specific errors as to the things, which is not to say that they weren't committed.
I hate to interrupt you,
yes.
But as you know, your time goes by so fast when you're arguing these cases on appeal. It's not your argument, is it, that the court should have actually ordered Mother herself, by herself, not to go to Ohio to accept this job, right?
I don't care. It didn't matter whether she went or not. The court can't keep her from going.
Right.
She's entitled to go. But that's not the rule with relocation of the children.
Can I ask you on that then? Because often, in some cases, you'll see a situation where relocation out of state is requested. And, of course, he or she just moved without requesting it of the court first. But often you see that, and then the result is, okay, well, you can go, but the children stay in Virginia, and then you have to arrange visitation yourself. But here, the difficulty, and if you could address this, I'd appreciate it. The difficulty is your client didn't ask for or really want primary physical custody because of medical issues, right?
Well, that's not completely true.
Okay.
He had medical issues that are no longer a problem.
Did he ever ask for primary physical custody?
He regarded his wife as the person who should have physical custody because she had always been the one who took care of the children while he was the one doing the work and that sort of thing. And insofar as the parties are concerned, there's no question about the fact that they were okay with Mom having the primary custody of the children. Never contested that throughout. However, it never got to the point either that he knew that she was going to all of a sudden up and move them out of state. And, you know, she gives a reason for doing that, which is, well, that's a different issue. But the fact of the matter is that that never came up. In other words,
I guess you
the choice
my,
between...
My question, though, is if he doesn't want physical custody or can't have physical custody because of whatever reasons, including medical issues, but you said those are now aside. If she is to have physical custody and that's what he wants, the court would effectively have to order her that she couldn't go to Ohio either if he can't take physical custody of the children.
There's nobody ever said that he couldn't take physical custody. He would have been happy with physical custody. That wasn't the point. The point was that they had simply, you know, agreed that the children would live with Mama. There had, and this is, I don't think it's a record, but there'd been discussions before when she would say, I'm going to live with Daddy, or, you know, something like and he would say, no, you know. But if it had come down to a choice, if he had been given a choice of saying, would you like to ask for custody of the children or let them go to Ohio, he's going to say, I want custody of my children. And there's no reason he couldn't have gotten custody, contrary to what the judge kept saying.
Well, let me ask you on the visitation, because the judge, of course, decided to leave visitation up to the parties to decide. So I guess my question, I think I know your answer from your brief, that was error not to set up a visitation schedule, a specific visitation schedule. I'm not asking you to tell me anything outside of the record because we have to decide the case on appeal on the record. But my understanding from your brief is that he has not seen the children since February 1st of 2015.
I had planned to ask you to let me tell you something outside the record. May I represent to you?
It is difficult. The court cannot take it in
consideration. I understand that. But I did represent that he had not seen the children since February 1, 15. What happened in November, his son sent a text message to one of his little cousins and said that we're coming on Thanksgiving to see his maternal grandmother and
stepfather.
And so Mr. Sackis found out about it. The little kid parent told him. He called her, and she said, no, they weren't coming. Anyway, bottom line is that she finally admitted they were coming, and he did get to see his children over the Thanksgiving weekend, which was almost 10 full months.
But is that in the record?
It's in the record that he had not seen them since, no, not what I just said, because the record was gone.
Right.
But it's in the record that he had not seen his children since February 1st. And as a matter of fact, he was supposed to see, this is something else interesting, he was supposed to see the children the Sunday, I think it was, before the trial on February the 12th, and arrangements had been made and so forth, and as she would frequently do, the wife called my client and said, we're having dinner with Mom and her stepfather. And so you can't see the children Sunday. Well, it turned out, apparently on Sunday, she had all taken the kids to Ohio. But
the Sunday before
this
the
is kind of
here,
typical.
4 days before.
Yeah, this is kind of typical.
Can I ask you on that, too? Under 20-124.5, there's supposed to be 30 days notice, advance notice of a relocation. And that generally is included the temporary orders for temporary custody, as well as in the final order. Was that ever requested or asked of the court?
As with so much stuff in this case, Your Honor, that Pendeni-Leidy order went through iterations. There's one in there that's all marked up. There's stuff that they did wrong. They would double repeat things and copy instructions out of the thing. And quite frankly, and oh, the code section does say the court shall. Anyway, I must admit, it, in trying to deal with the real merits of the thing, I blame myself because I overlooked. I mean, I just didn't. In trying to straighten out this mess of an attempted order, and you'll see in the file, and the appendix what I'm talking about, I didn't deal with that. It was not in there. They didn't put it in there. The judge didn't think about it, apparently. And I was so intent on trying to straighten out the substantive language of the order that it just got past me. There was nothing that said that she had to let him know ahead of time. Of course, she
wasn't in the penitentiary like the order or in the final decree, basically, then.
It was in the final decree.
The 30-day notice.
Yeah. But
she's moved by then.
She was gone. And so, I blame myself, but quite frankly, if you look at this, in the appendix is the first draft of the Pendente Lady order I got, and it was a mess. I mean, just, you have to look at it. And this went on back and forth and back and forth in August. One of the things that took so much time was I'd get a draft of something, and then write all it, send it back. And they come back, and then they wouldn't fix this, and they wouldn't fix that. I mentioned in one case in there, for example, after one of the hearings, the judge had said something specific. Well, they insisted on putting some additional things in there, and I said no. And I finally said, I finally said, you had a court reporter. Why don't you call the court reporter and see what the judge said? Finally, I guess
you
did.
That then they changed the language back to what
exactly what the judge had said and what I had said in the first
to
had
visitation,
to be.
Mr. Andrews, mm-hmm. On page 328 of the appendix, this is on April 10th. These are the email exchanges between you and Ms. Fitzgerald, who was then counsel for Ms. Tackett's. She says, Mr. Tackett, and this was after the discussion about visitation, and the court said, well, I'll let you all work that out. But she had indicated that she would do whatever it took to so that father's relationship with the children was not substantially impaired by the relocation to Ohio. And then she's, in response to your question, Mr. Tackett is free to visit the children anytime in Ohio with reasonable notice to Ms. Tackett. She will agree for the children to come to Virginia for 1 week in the summer to stay with Mr. Tackett's parents, so long as they provide transportation. And then you replied with a suggested visitation schedule, which she said, no, what I just said. This was before the judge entered the final decree by a month and a half. Now, you object to all this and attach it to the divorce decree. Was there a motion for reconsideration based on this at all?
Your Honor, you will note in the correspondence between me and the court that I asked about doing some things, and he wrote back and told me that his letter was not an invitation to be asking him anything else. And at one point in time, he says, this is what it's going to be. Visitation, as y'all agree upon, all future matters are going to be transferred, or he said remanded, to the JDR court, and it's closed. Now, I mean, the point was that once the judge did what he did, which was nothing with regard to visitation, then we were dead in the water. He, at that point, would not allow us. That was it. He made it very plain and a bit of acerbic at one point. Don't you be contacting me anymore. That, this is done.
He said you could do a motion and attach your memorandum in support, but no more letters to the court.
Well, whatever. all I did was wrote and say, did you mean to, did you mean this or mean that?
And he then did deny. He did deny further
Oh yeah, he wouldn't do. No, he made it
specific. Some visitation.
He made it very clear. Y'all do what y'all do. I'm not hearing anything else about it. All future matters go to JDR Court.
Okay, thank you.
I see my time is up. Thank you.
I'll ask.
Excuse me, I've got 8 seconds. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, you've got a little bit more time.
Thank you. If anybody has any questions, I can't answer them.
Counsel, just